Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Just explain why this is our favorite wedding photograph, because we're walking together. We're not just standing there posing. And you know, marriage is a walk together, isn't it? Christian life is a walk together with the Lord. And actually, what has happened is my father, you can just see part of him there, has just thrown a penny, that would be an old penny, into my hat. And I'm picking it out. And I can tell you, since that first penny, God has never, ever left us in need. Hallelujah. Well, I'm here to preach the word, not just to reminisce on 50 years. But after that, I'm going to say just a few things to put what I want to say to you in context this morning. They've been 50 very rich years, but you know, as we've been celebrating these last couple of days and all the days of preparation leading up to them, I've been very conscious that it's been impossible to separate 50 years of marriage from the 50 years of ministry. Because the whole of our married life together has been a ministry, being together in ministry, serving the Lord and therefore serving His people. And that has been a very rich time for us, often a very challenging time, because the more that God uses people, the more opposition they encounter. And I know that during that whole process, that's been more difficult for Caroline than for me, because although I was the one that was usually in the firing line, she's the one who, out of her love for me, felt the sort of emotional challenge that was, as she was sort of loving me and supporting me through all the many times. It's difficult perhaps for you to understand how when you do the work of the Lord, you not only produce great blessing, but you also are confronted with great opposition. And so, you know, that support, that moral, that emotional support for me has been absolutely essential and a vital part of our whole life together. And I'm going to preach this morning on the verse of Scripture that has been like a continual message from God, promise from God, all the way through these 50 years. It's a Scripture that God again and again has brought to us personally and brought to us as Kingdom Faith. Because together, by the grace of God, and it is all by His grace, as Caroline said, we've been so conscious these last couple of days of celebration of just thanking God for His abundant grace. But it is by the grace of God that we gave birth to Kingdom Faith and all that it's been, not only in this nation but around the world, and all the ministries that have been birthed out of Kingdom Faith during the years of its existence, the decades of its existence now. We've been very much together in that. From the time that we first experienced, if you like, the seeds of revival that are still bearing fruit in the life of Kingdom Faith today, and we look forward to even greater things in the future. To the times when we experienced revival in our community life, because 25 of these 50 years were spent living in community, often with exceedingly needy and broken people, broken lives. We reckon that probably around 120 people lived with us for periods of 6 months or more during that time, and some of them were simply supporting us and being part of the ministry, but many others were exceedingly needy people. And then, of course, the wider community beyond our household. This scripture was always prominent during those times, the times when God was living amongst us in the community in His holiness in the most remarkable way that I must confess I've never heard happening anywhere else. I don't say it hasn't happened anywhere else, but I've never heard of it happening anywhere else in the way in which He was living amongst us during those very precious years in the early 80s. And in all the ways in which we have seen God grow and develop Kingdom Faith and many people come to share and be part of the ministry for a period of time before God has led some of them on, some have gone away, broken our hearts in the way that they've done that because they left in not the right way. But that's all part of the heartache that you have when you're in leadership. But we just praise God for that abundant goodness. And, of course, a very big part of that has been to see our children grow in the Lord as well as just to grow up and to be used in ministry in the way that they have. Clive, you're very familiar with. And Andrea, who is here, of course, is pastoring the church with her husband, Alan, up in... Claire was pastoring the church up in Manchester. And Andrea, of course, has been a missionary in South Africa and Germany and is another anointed lady of God. And all of them have been pastors out of the fulfillment of this scripture. And so this scripture is just as much for you as for us and for all the previous generations of Kingdom Faith. So what is this scripture? Well, it's Matthew 6:33. In the truth version, it's let the kingdom of heaven and living in right relationship with God be your priorities. Then everything else you need will be given to you as well. What we always have to remember is that all of us are weak, vulnerable people. It isn't that we are all great sheikhs or, you know, we think we're the bee's knees or anything like that. The key to being used by God is to remain humble before Him and before others. And, you know, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And we've certainly been well aware of that all over these years, that apart from Him, there is absolutely nothing we could do. But, of course, we're not apart from Him. We're living in Him, and He lives in us. And here Jesus says in the more familiar version, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. Like so many of the promises of Jesus, there's a condition attached. And God is promising here to supply for our every need. And I can stand before you and say God has supplied for our every need over the years. And we praise Him for that. Even in the time of community when we were supporting so many people, or God was supporting so many people without there being any visible means of income, but just purely by faith, we never ever went into the red. We were never ever in debt because together, corporately, we were seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about what that really means in our life today, not what it's meant in the past, but what it means for us as Kingdom Faith today. We've been talking in these last few weeks about the importance of having faith in God's Word and how we need to speak that Word and confess that Word and live in the good of that Word. Well, in the Word of God, or through the Word of God, we know the truth that our Heavenly Father has been pleased to give us the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. Fear not, little flock, your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. And He made it clear that the kingdom or the rule or the reign of God, kingdom is not a place, is it? It's the reign of God. He said to His disciples, the reign of God is within you. And this is Kingdom faith. And kingdom faith is called kingdom faith because that's the title that the Lord gave us. But because of this verse of Scripture. So God desires every one of us to be living kingdom faith. Not just faith, but kingdom faith. That we're living as the children who belong to the kingdom of light because we've been set free from the dominion of darkness, which is the darkness, the spiritual darkness of this world, where the spirit of this world is still operating, as Paul puts it. But he has saved us out of that to be a people for himself. That's what it means to be a holy people, a people set apart for God, a people set apart for his purposes. And he says to us as his people, put that life of the kingdom first in your life. Now, what does that mean? It means that we want Jesus Christ to rule and reign, first of all, over us, then in us, and then through us. Well, as individual believers, Jesus is Lord and King, so he reigns over us. As kingdom faith corporately, he is Lord and King, and so he reigns over us. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the Christ in you desires to reign in your life. And because he is Lord of kingdom faith, he wants to reign in the corporate life of kingdom faith. Now, what does it mean for him to say that he reigns in me, or he reigns in you, or that he reigns in a marriage? Because Caroline and I have always wanted God to reign in our marriage and in our life together, because you can't separate who you are from what you do. You know, it's not a question of so much what we do in ministry, but who we are in ministry. And that doesn't mean that we always live in perfection and in the perfect will of God. But it does mean this, that if our hearts are really set upon seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, when that doesn't happen, the Holy Spirit gets to work on us very quickly to bring us back to the place where it is happening. Because, you see, this is the call of God upon every believer. It's not a call of God on exceptional people or just those that have lived in community or anything like that. Community was just one expression of this for us. But the principles of the kingdom are the principles by which all of us are called to live, which means Jesus Christ is reigning in my life, which means Jesus Christ has his way. That I'm not living to have my way. I'm not living for my will. I'm living for his will. I don't have my agenda, I have his agenda. That's what it means. That's what it's had to mean for me personally. That's what it's had to mean for Caroline personally. You wouldn't know it, but Caroline has a very, very rich relationship in God with prayer and through the Word, and spends many hours with the Lord on a daily and weekly basis. You see, there are no shortcuts in the Christian life. And you know, the measure you give is the measure you get back. And we don't minister a lot together, like some people are called to do in their marriages, but we are always together in ministry. And that's the important thing, you see, that our ministries actually are very different, but they're complementary to each other. And I know I've seen the way that so many lives have been really healed and made whole through the love that has poured through Caroline's life, especially when we had people living with us, but also even today as she reaches out to others who are in need in one way or another. But you see, the important thing is that Jesus can reign through us to touch the lives of other people if he's reigning in us. And That is Jesus is saying that is the priority. Seek first that Jesus Christ is reigning in your life. You're seeking first His kingdom, because then He will reign through your life. And if He reigns through your life, then He will touch the lives of other people. I don't know how many through our life together, I don't know how many people have been touched. Millions, really. I mean, there are millions of my books in circulation, and you think of all the radio, television programs over the years. You think of all the people that have gone out, and many of them have planted churches, Bible schools in different countries. Revivals have happened in some nations through our former students at the Bible College. It's probably just as well that we don't know what God has done, because there's always a temptation to be proud if you do. But you just give all the glory. When I hear of something else that God has done, I just give Him the glory. And if anybody ever comes up to thank me, even if it's just for what they've heard through a message, I will always immediately give God the glory. Never, ever take any of it to myself, because that's the most dangerous thing you can do. As soon as you take any glory to yourself, pride gets in. And God raises up the humble, but He resists the proud. And I don't want to live in any way with God resisting me. That would be a terrible way to live. But if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then everything else will be added to us. And the thing about righteousness is it's living right. And none of us lives right in perfection. And all of us can look back on things that we probably regret that we would have done, decisions that we've made that perhaps were foolish, although we didn't realize it at the time. But praise God that in His mercy and forgiveness, those things no longer exist. That when He forgives, what is forgiven doesn't continue to exist before Him, and there'll never be any mention of it eternally. Which is why He says, well, if I've forgiven you in that way, that's the way you're to forgive one another. If I don't hold grudges, if I don't keep a score of all the things you've done wrong because I forgive them and obliterate them altogether, then that's the way, the kind of attitude that you're to have towards other people. That is righteousness. It's not only living in righteousness ourselves, but having those righteous attitudes of mercy, of love, of forgiveness, of compassion. It would be great to hear this brother who's coming to speak next week, because you will hear, I'm sure, of a heart of compassion for other people. And that's what the Christian life is all about. It's living for others and not for ourselves. And the more we do that, the more we sow, then the more we will reap of the goodness of God. And you see, that's a principle of the kingdom of God, that you reap what you sow. Yep. And Jesus is saying, if you sow this truth, that the kingdom is first in your life, that the righteousness of God is first in your life, then everything else that you ever need will be added to you. And that's our testimony. God has added everything that we have ever needed. I could, you know, spend a long time giving you testimony of that and of His wonderful provision for us. But of course, that means that you keep giving. That what is a life of service? It's being like Jesus, because when Jesus came, He came as the greatest servant. He has the greatest place in heaven now, because when He was on earth, He was the greatest servant. You see, He said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life for a ransom for many. And so what is ministry? Ministry is simply service. That's what the word means. That we as the people of God live to serve others. That there will be different ways in which every one of us is called to serve, because God needs a multiplicity of giftings and a multiplicity of different anointings within the body of Christ. But every one of us, you see, has that unique part to play in the purpose of God. That's why He's called you. That's why He's chosen each one of you. He knows you are important, because there are people whose lives you can touch, people that you are going to serve with His love, with His truth, with His goodness, as Jesus Christ exercises His rule and reign in you. Now, the only way in which you can seek first the kingdom of God is through the motto of Kingdom Faith, faith working through love. Paul says that's the only thing that matters. And this kingdom of God is a kingdom of faith, hence Kingdom Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And if Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign in your life, then you will be a person living by faith. You will be living by faith in His Word. You will feed on His Word every day. You will honor His Word. You will honor His Word not only by reading it and studying it, but you'll honor His Word by living it. Because the only part of this book that you actually believe is the part that you do. You might believe that it's all truth, but actually your faith is only in what you do. And so God wants to see more and more of Jesus expressed in our lives, more and more of His sovereign rule and reign expressed in us, more and more of His Word and of His character. And God has been speaking to me, or reminding me really, of what He's taught me over the years about the importance of charisma and character. Charisma is the anointing of God upon our lives. Charisma is the gifting of God, the gifting of His Spirit that enables us to do what otherwise we wouldn't be able to do. It's the power of God working in us and through us. But you see, Jesus Christ is not only concerned about charisma. He even said that there will be those that who would do mighty miracles in His name, and He would disown them. Because although they might have exhibited charisma, they didn't show His character. And so God is concerned not only with what He does through us, but how He forms the character of Jesus in each of us. And this is where our faith needs to be, not just in how God would use us, not just in the way in which we can touch other lives with His anointing that He's placed upon our lives, but how He can recreate more and more of His character within us. His purpose is to transform us into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this is the great thing, that despite our weakness, despite our frailty, despite the ways in which we fail Him and are not always faithful, He always remains faithful. He always remains true. He always remains merciful. He always remains full of grace. He always extends His love towards us, so that by His Spirit, He not only enables things to happen through us, but He forms Christ in us. And that's another phrase that Paul uses about forming Christ in you. And that's the kind of kingdom faith God wants you to have, that Christ is being formed in me. I'm being transfigured into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, that my life is so open to God, so placed in His hands, that He can transform me. He can continue that transforming work in my life. And even if I go through a period of messing up, I come back to Him, I come back to His purpose, I come back to His plan, and He doesn't write me off because I failed in some way. He lifts me up, He puts me back on my feet, and He says, "You're my child. You're the one that I called. I didn't make a mistake when I called you. I knew the end from the beginning. I even knew that you would mess up in that. I knew that you would fail in that. I knew that you would be disobedient in that. I knew that for a time, some of you might even have backslidden." Said, "I knew all about that, but I still chose you. I still called you. I still made you my child. I brought you back to me. I lift you up. I don't pull you down. I lift you up. I'm the one that lifts up your head." Hallelujah. And he gets our focus back on Himself. He gets our focus back on His plan, back on His purpose. And He says, "You're still my kingdom child. I still will fulfill my kingdom purposes in your life. I will still work in you. I will still transform you. And when you see me face to face, that whole purpose will be fulfilled, and you will be like me. Despite everything, you will be like me, and you will live with me in my eternity, in my eternal kingdom." Hallelujah. You will actually live eternal in His eternal kingdom eternally. Praise God. And you will praise Him forever and ever. So you see, worship has always been an important part of kingdom faith. Because if Jesus is ruling and reigning in us, then we exalt and honor him as King. That worship isn't something you want to miss by coming late. Worship is the most important part of the service. And if you're 1 minute late, you apologize to God as you come through the door. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've missed it. I'm coming here to glorify you and to praise you. Forgive me for being late on the scene. Because you see, it's all a matter of the heart, isn't it? What attitude do we have towards God if we just casually turn up when we feel like it? No. If God is really the center and the focus of our lives, if we really honor him, if he is first in our lives, if we're seeking him first, then everything else has to be subject to him. Everything else has to be second to him. It's all a matter of heart attitude, my friends. And you see, one thing you cannot hide from God is your heart attitude.
That's right.
You just cannot hide anything from him. Yes. And you know, the more our hearts are in line and in tune with him, then the more he can take hold of our lives and use us for his glory. So it's great to be part of Kingdom Faith. I don't just mean this as a church or as a ministry. I mean, it's great to be part of God's kingdom. But Kingdom Faith exists to reveal and to manifest what that means. Kingdom Faith is to be a prophetic witness to the whole church of what it means to live the life of the kingdom here on earth. And that's why God wants to continue to move in and among us by his Spirit, so that that becomes more and more of a reality. Hallelujah. And you know, in this reformation that God has been speaking to us about in recent weeks and months, that reformation process that is going to come about in these coming months and years, we as Kingdom Faith have got a vital part to play in that. And that's not just to talk about it, but because God wants those reforming purposes to be actually manifested in our lives personally and in our corporate life together. What does that mean? We become more and more like the kingdom people that God is wanting us to be. That life of faith, that life of trust, that life of confidence in him is always to be seen in our lives. But it's faith working through love. It's that love that binds people together in unity. That's why it breaks my heart when I see anybody breaking covenant and freeing themselves from that love, because that's not right, is it? It's one thing to be sent out, but it's another thing when those bonds of love for which Jesus prayed, you know, Father, may they be one. It's to me, it's a dreadful thing when those bonds are broken. Because even if, you know, people have issues with one another or there's things to work through, then as the body of Christ, we work them through. If there are things to be forgiven, then they need to be forgiven. And there needs to be restoration. There always needs to be that unity. There's never any excuse for disunity, because that's the work of the enemy. He wants to divide while the Holy Spirit unites. So you're just hearing a bit of my heart. And I know it's Caroline's heart as well, that all we want to do all the time is to focus on the positive, not the negative. And okay, you know, we always have to look to ourselves, never to judge anyone for what they've done, even if we consider that, you know, what they've done is not right. We never judge, lest we be judged. Amen. But we pray, and we pray, Lord, never mind what has been, is what is now. Bind us together in that bond of love. Bind us together in that bond of faith, so that faith will be working through love, that we as a people will be seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness, and we will see everything else added to you, added to us. And I just want to end by saying, okay, what does he want to add to us? What does he want to add to us as Kingdom Faith? You see, he doesn't want to simply add blessing to us personally. He wants to do that. But what does he want to add to us? He wants to add to us the fulfillment of everything that he's ever promised us as Kingdom Faith. He wants to add to us the multiplication that he's spoken of. He wants to add to us that influence in this nation and beyond to see transformation in the church, that the churches will live more the kingdom life of God that He intends for every church than is at present a reality. We want to see Him grow and develop all those ministries that are going to reach out into every area of our society, that are going to have an impact on the nation, that is going to change the values of the nation by which the values by which the nation lives at present, because those values have got further and further and further away from the Word of God. And sadly, many of the churches have been sucked into that negative sort of vortex, really. And God wants to raise up a people that are going to stand against that and say, no, it shall not be. This nation will not go from worse to worse, further and further away from God's word and God's kingdom purposes. No, this nation is going to be restored to God. This nation is going to come back to God. We're going to see the values of the kingdom of God established more and more fully in this nation and in the other nations that we have any kind of influence or impact in. We're going to see that impact grow over the coming years. And that's a mission that needs all of us. It needs all of us to be united in faith, in love. We need to say, Lord, I want to live by kingdom faith. I want to live in kingdom love. I want your kingdom to be first in my life. I want your righteousness to be first in my life. And Lord, you know my frailty. You know my weakness. You know the things that tempt me. You know how the flesh will rise up if I give it any opportunity. So I need your grace, I need your enabling, I need your anointing to fulfill your word, to take up my cross by denying myself day by day and walking after you, because you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my King. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have eternal life. If it wasn't for you, I couldn't have salvation. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have eternal hope. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, and fade. Everything is dependent upon you. I cannot treat you as my servant. I am your servant. I cannot treat you as my dog that I take for a walk, because you need to be the good shepherd that leads me through my life in the way you want me to go. You are not there just to meet my need whenever I feel that I want to turn to you because things have got beyond my ability. You are the Lord who is my ability. You are the Lord who is my strength. You are the Lord who is my rock. You are the Lord who is everything to me. And without you, I really am nothing and could do nothing. But I praise you, Lord, that you have given me that identity in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if I need a golden wedding every week to preach like this, then I'll have a golden wedding to preach like this every week. Come on, let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we've got to live in the reality of what is, so that what you see to be your purpose can be brought into being. And Lord, we can't gloss over the things that need to be faced, but we thank you, Lord, that as we face those issues before you, before your throne, we thank you, Lord, that you will raise us up to be the people that you want us to be. And thank you, Lord, for all those who have served faithfully during all the generations of kingdom faith. We thank you, Lord, for all those that you've given to us. All those, Lord, who even though they've gone on, even though some perhaps have broken our hearts when they've gone on, we thank you that they're still kingdom faith people. We thank you, Lord, that wherever they are now serving you, the values of kingdom faith are their values, because those are the values you put into their lives. And we pray for them, Lord, that wherever they are, you will continue to use them, you will continue to bless them, and you will continue to extend your kingdom through them. But Lord, we thank you that you call us to be a people that are united together in faith, in love, in your grace, in your kingdom purposes. And we thank you, Lord, that we are going to go forward from strength to strength. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing on Pastor Clive and all the other leaders that you're raising up. We thank you, Lord, that this is a generational blessing that just goes on from one generation to another. We thank you for our children. We thank you that they are being brought up in these values. We thank you that even this morning, our young children are being taught about baptism and what it means. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have kingdom values. We thank you that they're going to be living kingdom lives. even as our children and grandchildren live by the values of the kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, that they are going to be mightily used by you. We praise you, we bless you, we exalt you, we glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, that we can have every confidence that our children and our grandchildren and their children, that they will all live by these values, that they will all seek first your kingdom and righteousness, that you will be praised, you will be honored, you will be glorified in their lives. And Lord, we pray now, because some of us have only become believers in our latter years, we pray for all our children who perhaps don't know you, who are not walking with you. Lord, we speak salvation over their lives. We speak transformation over their lives. We don't see them as unsaved, but people that will be saved. We thank you, Lord, that even though they're not walking with you now, they shall walk with you. And we speak that over them. We pray that over them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for all those other arms of kingdom faith, wherever they be, those that are serving you among the nations, as well as all the churches in different parts of this nation. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon them. We thank you for the values of your kingdom being seen in every one of their lives, the values of your kingdom being seen in their churches. And we bless you, we exalt you, we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, that we are just about to entering now into a new season of your blessing, a new season of fruitfulness, a new season of greater anointing than we've ever known in the past. And thank you, Lord, that we're together in that. We're one in that. And we're not going to allow the enemy to come in and cause any divisions or any separation between us. Because, Lord, we're going to move ahead as one body, as one purpose in your one kingdom's purposes. And we just give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Come on, lift your hands. Raise your voices. Praise God for all his mighty goodness. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. And may there be the seeds of many more golden weddings here.
Yeah. Wow, brilliant. What a great word. You know, it's all part of what God's doing during this autumn. He gave us this scripture right at the beginning of September from Haggai that he's going to stir up the spirit of the people. That means you and I. And as we give ourselves to God, then your spirit is going to get stirred up. And I've had, I don't know how many conversations with different ones of you at different points over the last few weeks where you've been saying, you know, God is stirring me up. He's agitated me, or he's provoked me, or I'm looking around saying, there's got to be more than this, and I'm not satisfied with what I'm seeing, and all of that. And that's part of God stirring us up, stirring our spirits up. I thought at first it would be, you know, God's going to stir our spirits up. We'd all get more excited and, yeah, brilliant. But actually, God provokes you. He agitates you, first of all, to say, I'm not satisfied. There's more. And that was an agitating word. That wasn't just a yee-haw word. That was a, God, agitate me then so that I live in that. I move in that. We do that together as a church. There's so much more than we've seen and known. And we want to stretch out for more, don't we? Is that right? I want to stretch out for more. Last week's word was all part of that. If you didn't hear it, go to the website, have a listen. Next week, it's all going to be part of that. God stirring up your spirit, my spirit, our spirit, agitating us, provoking us to action. But it's interesting how in that word, God said, I'm going to stir up the spirit of the people. And then it says, and the people went to work on the house of the Lord. So as God agitates us, it's so that we go to work in the things of God. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added. Some of that added is the fruit. It's not just how God blesses us, but it's the fruit of other people's lives that's still to be saved, still to be healed, still to be set free. And so let's sow our lives for the kingdom of God. Amen. You are blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.